This summer, America turns 250 years old, and there's no better way to celebrate than getting outside and exploring this great nation. One way to do that is to rent a camper or RV from Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S., making it easy for anyone over 21 to rent an RV or camper without owning one. With Outdoorsy, you can drive it yourself, tow it, or even have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. With comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance, Outdoorsy gives you the peace of mind you need when on the road. Outdoorsy is even the perfect option for your next out-of-state hunting or fishing trip. Right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed from their bookings in 2026 with code EMPIRE at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy.com and use code EMPIRE at checkout to remove service fees. It's time to get outside and enjoy your summer. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code EMPIRE25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
banshee flying,
space mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and throw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. Anookshuk has what you're looking for. Anookshuk's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, Anookshuk delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, Anookshuk is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with Anookshuk Professional Dog Food. Hopefully this sounds better than the last one I just did, because it was echoing horrible. What's everybody up to on this wonderful What's Up Wednesday? We are going to finish out our Silent Pack series. And this one's going to be with Cannon. And I save Cannon to the last one for a specific reason. But let me tell you about my weekend. So by the time this drops, it will be the 20th. By the time this drops, it will be the 16th of. God dang it. Yes, by the time this one drops, it will be the 16th, which means I should be headed back from Wisconsin. But we've run into a small yet discouraging issue. So I'm recording this on the Sunday before I leave, trying to get ahead on my podcast, right? So Thursday night at about 1 o'clock, I wake up and I've got a pretty good pain in my stomach. And the gym workout that day, if anybody knows anything about the CrossFit stuff, we did toes to bar. Well, the workout called for 100, and I actually scaled mine back to 75. And that was in 4 different sets. It was 30, 20, 15, and 10. That's how you did them. So I scaled mine back because, you know, I'm a fat boy. It's hard for me to do those. So I woke up and my stomach was hurting, and I thought, man, I've pulled a muscle in my stomach. So I flip-flopped around, could not get comfortable at all. And I laid on my right side, I laid on my left side, but most of the pain was on my right side. And I'm like, well, how did I pull a muscle on that side and not the other side? So I got up, took some ibuprofen, laid back down. And I think it was the more I thought about it, the more it was hurting. And never could get comfortable. So after 30, 45 minutes, I was like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go sit in a chair in the living room, see if that helped. So I did that. Still couldn't get comfortable. And I decided to pick up the old iPad and started Googling, like, let's look at our appendix and our gallbladder. So lo and behold, all the symptoms for your gallbladder issues, I was showing. I was sweating. I couldn't get comfortable. The pain was in the upper right abdominal part of my stomach, which is right under the rib cage. And it was getting worse. Like at that point in time, I literally felt like I was going to throw up. So I go back in the bedroom, I get Chelsea up, and I'm like, I don't want to do this, but I think I'm going to have to go to the ER. And she's like, what's going on? I tell her, and she knows I don't like doctors. I don't like to take medicine. You know, I'm really, really old school with that stuff. I mean, you just fight through the pain. Well, I mean, I could not take it. So I went back in the bathroom to throw up, and I couldn't. So we load up and we take the literally 8-mile drive to the ER, which is, they put it up here at the exit. And it felt like it took her 30 minutes. And of course it's 2:30 in the morning at this point in time. And I'm like, she's watching for deer. And like, I'm like, just get to the hospital. So we get to the hospital. And by this time I'm like pale. I'm slumped over. I can't straighten out. It hurts so bad. Long story short, they did a CT scan on me. There was no infection. It wasn't swollen. They had to give me quite a bit of pain medication to keep me from trying to throw up. They give me Zofran, and that didn't work. They give me some type of pain medication. That didn't work. And they ended up shooting me up with some Dilaudin, which that did work, and it helped. So they got the pain kicked, and they set me up with an appointment the next day at the hospital for an ultrasound. So I had to go to the hospital the next day, Friday, and get an ultrasound done. And they said that I had several gallstones. It was actually blocking the bile duct of that. I know it probably sounds gross, but it is what it is. So I am waiting to talk to a surgeon tomorrow. Since it's non-emergent right now, all my blood work was good. Everything was good. But since I've got to talk to a surgeon tomorrow, and it will determine whether I'm going to Wisconsin or not. And hopefully I do get to, so we can give you some, you know, some good stuff, right? Some videos and maybe a podcast or two. But it's in limbo at this point. So the next podcast after this one, we will keep you updated, and let's just hope we can work through it. I have literally not eaten hardly anything since Thursday night. Anything with fat in it for sure. I've been very limited on what I've eaten just to keep from it reoccurring, because I will say I feel like my pain tolerance is pretty high, and it was causing me to bend over and want to hurl. So that was pretty tough, but that's that. So let's see what happens, and let's just cross our fingers and hope for the best and hope it doesn't reoccur and they can get this thing out. I guess it's going to change my eating habits a little bit, which is blah. I like to eat. Food's one of my things. I like food. I like good food. But it is what it is. So, all right. So we'll talk about Canon. So two of the mistakes that I made, was not breeding Smokey or Sam. And I didn't. And I regret that. I should have, back then, a lot of stuff in life was going on. Sam ended up, like I said, the last episode, Sam, you know, he left here a little early. But I wished I would have bred those dogs to see what they were produced. Both of them were bred really good. Sam was actually a registered dog. And I just didn't. You always think about the what ifs and what could have been, but I don't know because I didn't do it. But Canon, on the other hand, I did breed Canon, and Canon is actually still in some of my dogs that I'm hunting today. So let me just give you a little rundown on Canon's pedigree. Okay. So Canon was a registered walker dog. He was out of a a Grand Knight champion of mine. On his papers, he was Creekside Pine Creek Rock in Pine Creek because he was out of Pine Creek Candy. And he was out of Kitty. And Kitty was a dog that I had gotten years ago. Well, yeah, a long time ago. And she was actually the mother to Frosty. Kitty was. That's what they bred for Homer to get Frosty and AR. And of course, AR was Ring's dad. So that goes back in my lineage. Kitty goes back in my lineage on both sides. But just to give you a short rundown on and I'll tell you the story about the Rock dog that I had. We didn't call him Rock. That was his papers. My dad ended up calling this dog Poo. So we called him Poo. And it's because he kept pooping in the garage. Dad got mad at me because I was keeping him in the garage when he was a puppy. And he said, so you got to do something with that dog. You got to get him out of here. So anyway, we called him Poo. And that's what he always was called by. But Poo, I got him from one of my mentors, Dale Breeden. And he was out of Sackett Jr., directly out of Sackett Jr. And Grand Knight Champion, Grand Champion, Pine, Price's Pine Creek Candy, which was Pappy's female, nice female. And everybody knows what Sackett Jr. was out of. It goes back to Sackett and Skeens' Dolly. Candy was out of Price's Pine Creek Casey. And remember this dog, because it come from Sam's podcast, was Grand Knight Champion, Blue Ridge Queen. Queen was Sam's mother. So these dogs both had the same lineage. And then Kitty was out of Oak Ridge Drum and Stone Cold Kim. But we go back to Kitty, and she was out of Grand Knight Champion, Grand Champion, Thornton's Oak Ridge Hank, and Knight Champion, Nestor's Oak Ridge Julie, Grand Knight Champion, Grand Champion, 7 Mile Lane. And I don't know which one, if it was 7 Mile Lane or Julie, but one of those dogs was out of World Champion, Finley River Nighthawk. So I don't have the papers back far enough to trace that back, but I'm pretty sure it was 7 Mile Lane. And then Grand Champions, Stony Creek Cindy. So that was Cannon's pedigree. I bred Cannon. Well, I got to tell you the story on this. So at this point in time, I had given Kitty to a nice gentleman by the name of John Cox. And he lived over in Kellyville. John come to all the hunts. We got to be really good friends. He used to take me hunting. He took me into good spots that he had over in West Virginia. And we hunted a lot. And I was hunting Kitty at the time. And I can't remember the other dog that I was hunting with her. But John really liked Kitty. And he always was bragging on her and, you know, just raving about her. And Kitty was a nice bear. Well, let me rephrase that. Kitty would run and tree a bear. But if that bear turned on the ground, she'd book it back to the truck. And that's how I ended up with her. The guy that owned her didn't like her, so he gave her to me. And I hunted her for several years. But you knew if you had a bear on the ground, she just wasn't going to stick it. And then you ask, well, why did you breed that? Well, let me get back to the story. So I give Kitty to John. I strictly took her away from bear hunting and started coon hunting her. And she was a nice coon dog, a really nice coon dog. So John and I made the agreement that if she comes in heat, I wanted to breed her to my Sackett dog. About a year later, John calls me up and he's like, hey, Kitty's in heat. Do you want to breed her? And I'm like, yeah, I do. So he brought her over. We bred her. Brought her back to me. I don't know. I think I actually kept her. She had pup. She had one pup, and it was Cannon. So at that point in time, I had got Clyde, which was my Cameron male. And Clyde was, I don't know how old Belle was at the time, but I've got a picture of Clyde and Cannon laying in the backyard, both of them stretched out, belly showing, and I remember that day I made the decision that I was not going to keep Cannon. I was going to keep Clyde, which I got Clyde to hunt anyway. But because Clyde was out of bear stock, I was going to bear hunt him. So I give Kitty back, and I called John. When John come to get her, I said, "John, do you want Cannon?" And he was like, "Well, what do you mean?" And I'm like, "She only had one pup, and she's your female. I know it's out of my mail, but I've got Clyde here. Do you want to take Cannon too?" And he said, "Yes." So he took Cannon and Kitty back with him. 4 years later, my dad calls me and says, "Hey, I got a dog here, belongs to you." And I'm like, "You don't have no dogs belong to me." He's like, "Yeah." He said, "A man by the name of John Cox just dropped this dog off at your house, at our house." He knew where my dad lived, but I had moved to another. I'd moved to take my first job with the law enforcement, so I didn't live in town. So I'm like, okay. So I go to my dad's, and sure enough, he dropped Cannon off with his papers. And he said, "Heath," he said, "I've been sick." He told my dad, he said he'd been sick and he couldn't hunt. He wanted to keep Kitty. Kitty was old, getting older. And he said he wanted me to have Cannon back. And I'm telling you, a lot of people don't do that stuff anymore. Man, give me his word. He said, "When she comes in, Heath, I'll call you." I didn't ask him to give me that dog back, but he felt like I should have him back because I was the one that bred him. So I take this dog home with me, and I have no clue what I'm going to do with it. None. John's coon hunted this dog for 4 years. He was right at, he wasn't quite 4 years old, but right at it. So training season rolls around. I do not remember what month that was, but training season rolls around. And I'm hunting. No, he was not involved in that. That was poo. So I go to New York, and we get Cannon on a couple races. Now, I'm hunting ring at the time. I kind of got ahead of the cart there as far as training season, but I was hunting ring and got Cannon on a couple bear, and Cannon was a big dog. Kitty was a big dog. She almost was bigger than the breed standard. She was right on that line with her breed standards, with her height. Big, long-legged dog. But I got Cannon under a couple bear. He'd seen a couple back down, but Cannon was a natural tree dog. And if you guys, you know, ever owned any Sackett dogs, that's one thing you don't have a problem with, right? They're going to get treed. They're going to hook up. They're going to get treed. Really nice tree dog. He got to see a couple bear back down. Training season rolls around, and he's making races. Like, he's, you know, he's always where he's supposed to be. And I really am not paying attention to this at the time. Like, I'm just, you remember what I said? That's the dogs I had, so I took them hunting. That's what I did. So Cannon was another dog that I would leave in New York, and we'll start with Rodney. And Rodney would take him to Maine. And one of the stories that Rodney told me is they had treed up on the mountain in Maine, and they couldn't get to the dogs that night. Now, remember, this is the beep beep collars. They had left them. So they went back the next morning. They started in. They pulled the mountain, which was obviously a pretty big place or pretty dense country. They'd already done it. They pulled the mountain, and they had some dog. It was more dogs than one, but they got the dogs and dog. They had it in a hole, and so they tied the dogs back. And Cannon's not there. Of course, you know, if you're using the beep beep, you're not just pulling it. It ain't like the Garmin. You ain't just pulling it up and looking at it and pull it up and looking at it. Like, you got to get it out, unfold it, turn it on. Depending on what kind you carried. But so they pull the dogs back. The bear comes up, comes busting out of the hole. Cannon comes right out behind it. Don't know how long they'd been in the hole. Don't know how long he'd been down in there. Come out without a scratch on it. They ended up running it. It was a sow bear. They ran the bear down the mountain and treated, got it treed, and they cut the dogs off of it. But Rodney always laughs about that. He's like, I didn't know where he was. And he said, all of a sudden, boom, here comes the bear. And he goes, here comes Cannon right out on him. And I will tell you, Cannon was hard to handle at the tree. Like, he was so big and powerful that if you didn't have him tied up when it come out, like, he was probably pulling your shoulders out of socket. And I know one time he hurt me. We were on a pretty steep incline, and I had him in my hand, and the bear come out, and I had him in a ring in my hand, and they literally pulled me face down. But I ended up letting Bob, as my pack grew, I ended up letting Bob have Cannon. And Bob hunted him for several years and loved him, like absolutely loved him. So Bob bred Cannon to Abby. So let me give you the background there. Abby was at a ring, and I had bred a little female called Racket, was at a Frosty, and a dog named Maggie. So Bob, I bred Ring to Racket and ended up with five pups in that litter. And it was Ben and Abby, a dog called Snoop, a dog named Copper, and I'm having Jeb. It was five dogs in that litter. And all those dogs ended up being running and training on bear. Okay. So I give Abby to Bob. And Bob bred Cannon to Abby. And we ended up with a dog named Buster. Buster's big old dog, just like Cannon was. And Rodney hunted Buster for a while. And when he quit, he sent Buster and Jimmy down to me, and I ended up keeping them. But we bred Buster to a little female that we should have known more about, but we didn't. And that's where I got my Pearl female. And I have her right now. She's the one that's got the messed up nerve in her back leg. And she's also the mother of my sea litter. And I've got a dog named Chief that I'm hunting. And Chief looks just like old Ring, if you've heard me talk about it. So Cannon was some of that foundation. And Cannon was another dog. And I thought about this before I started recording. Like, I caught a couple bear with him by himself. I can't say that it was a pile of them like Sam. Sam was, out of the three dogs, Smokey, Sam, and Cannon, more bear with by theirself with Sam than the other two, but they treed handfuls of bear by theirself. But Sam kind of stood out on that because, like I told you, he was always, if he was split off from the other dogs, you better go find him because he's hooked up on one. So Cannon was a very good dog, and still comes back to the bloodline I've got two dogs on my lot right now that, you know, that go back to him and go back to Frosty and Ring and Pooh, my Sackett dog. And I would have loved to have a couple more of those Sam and Smokey and Cannons. Like, they're dogs that you just always overlook, that are consistent, that are quiet, and they're always doing what they're supposed to be doing. Very little nonsense, very little trouble, not enough recognition. And I got Cannon when he was almost four. He passed away at 11, a little over, almost 12 years old. And there was a lot of bear trees, a lot of times with him. I'll tell you another quick story before I wrap this one up. Remember the story I told you about having Smokey and packing him, and the dogs went out of hearing, and you heard me say I had Smokey and Cannon, and I let them go too late? Well, when I got to that tree Me and old Scotty Woods got to that tree. I got bell and ring tied up. I'm always, people fuss at me, but my hands go on my main dog, like very first, like bam. As soon as I get there, and we could debate this all day long, but I'll grab my good dogs and tie them back to make sure that they're not getting hurt. You know, we're not having any issues. So I had tied ring up. I had got my hands on bell and got her tied up. Well, that bear was, like I said, he was over 300 pounds. He backed down the tree there. Sam and Smokey, and there was a couple other dogs. They ended up running that thing all the way back to where we started it. I had racket. I think I had racket that time too. I had ring, racket, bell, Sam and Smokey. Yep. No, Smokey and Cannon. Yep. I think Sam was in Maine at that point in time. And they run that thing all the way back across up the mountain. They actually run another bear out, which we put ring and racket and whatever else I had caught bell on it. And they run and treed that thing. We went and got them off the tree and then went back. And I mean, it was an hour or two later and Cannon and them were still walking that bear and we didn't get them off of that thing until right at dark that night. But that was the type of dog he was, like just a good solid hound. And I've got several pictures of him and I mean, I still got his papers. I mean, I was reading his stuff off it. I mean, I still have his papers. And, you know, John Cox giving that dog back to me because his health was going downhill was a blessing. And I had at least 6 good years of hunting with him because John thought enough of me to bring that dog back. So this will wrap up the series of the Silent Pack. And guys, if you got dogs that go unheard, you know, you always got to thank them. Like I said, yes, I treat a lot of bears with ring and bell. But I also, these dogs here, the Sams and the Smokies and the Cannons, probably made that happen more so than those dogs did alone. So here's to the Silent Pack. Here's to the dogs go unnoticed. We'll catch you guys next time on What's Up Wednesday.
Hounds in the box tail starting to thump. They know that ridge, they feel that jump. Bear sign fresh on the mountain trail. You can smell the storm in the cool thin gale. Let them loose and watch them fly. That deep bay rings knit the open sky. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred. Chasing thunder where the brave don't tread. Trust them hounds when the big ones fall. They run with fire. They run with pride. With grit and heart. I can't deny it ain't for fame. It ain't for show. It's the wild calling. And I go. Hit dirt where the claw marks stay. Old boar's moving and he won't play. Young dog's learning, old dog leads. Running with purpose, not just speed. Treetops shaking and the chase gets tight. You thank the Lord when they tree it right. One long howl from your cold-nosed crew. You know they earned it every boot step too. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred. Chasing thunder where the brave don't tread. Through rock, ravine, and pine so tall. I trust them hounds when the big ones fall. They run with fire. They run with pride. With grit and heart. I can't deny it ain't for fame. It ain't for show.
Carving legends where few have led, through brush and snow, through heat and rain. That old bear trail runs in my veins. So here's to the pack who run the sound, standing firm when the bear turns round. We live out loud, we live full grown. In the high wild woods, we're home. Yeah, we're home, where the black bear runs and the hound dogs roam. I'm a bear hound man.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Don't chew on that, Max.
Cooper loves that chew, too.
Oh, now he's into Cooper's food. Wow, he is loving it. What do you feed Cooper?
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula. He never leaves a crumb. I love it because it's made with high-quality protein, nutrient-rich fruits and veggies, and wholesome whole grains.
Looks like we're switching to Blue.
Blue Buffalo foods are made with the superior ingredients your dog needs to thrive. Can your dog food say that? Visit feedbluefood.com to learn more.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.